Welcome to Echo This, where we are empowering conversations of hope and opportunity. I'm your moderator, Lisa Jones. Today, our episode is Curiosity and the Cat, Nine Lives of Play. Welcome, welcome to this episode. We are going to be diving in whiskers first into the playful art of curiosity. And today we're exploring how being curious about play can open doors to empowering conversations, ignite hope, and uncover fresh opportunities. Just like a cat with its nine lives, play offers us multiple chances to reinvent, discover, and transform our interactions with the world around us. So join us as we pounce on the possibilities. See what I did just there. Explore how play can be more than just fun. It can be a powerful catalyst for growth and connection. Let's get curious. Now I want to introduce each of our panelists for today, and I want to start with Amy. Hi, Amy.
Hi, I'm Amy Weishaus. I am a lifelong learner and educator. So the learner part right there gives you a clue that I'm into asking a lot of questions, and I am a curious person. My major curiosity has been, why aren't we more joyful in our lives? And this is my platform to show you and to suggest to you, you have the power to create joy every moment of the day.
Yes, and I couldn't agree more. And how about you, Debbie?
Hi, thank you. Nice to be here. I'm Debbie Wimberly. I am a medical cannabis educator coach. I also am someone working to help you find and discover your own endocannabinoid system that you are born with. And I think I was born curious, and that's why I'm a whole lot like Alice in Wonderland.
Yes, born curious. I love it. And I am Lisa Jones, a speaker, consultant, and author that leverages the power of humor, gamification, and play as fuel to enhance collaboration, increase engagement, and maximize productivity. Now, I want to explain that each of our episodes features several segments. Our first segment today is Echoing the Hope. What we're going to be doing is talking about our Echoing the Hope question with our panelists. And our first question is, what does playful curiosity mean to you, and how has it helped you rediscover hope and open up new opportunities in your life or career? What are your thoughts about that? I'll start with Amy.
Well, I love the idea that we've been just throwing around the buzzword curiosity for a long time. And here we are mentioning it and in our podcasts, and we've said so many times that curiosity is really at the root of hope and opportunity and empowerment. And now we decided, hey, let's use curiosity as a topic. And I am just overwhelmed with the amount of information I've found showing that curiosity is a very viable topic, from the Harvard Business Review to books being written about the survival of children's curiosity today in a very challenging, media-saturated, and scary world. So I came up with something that I'm going to be subscribing to, which is not IQ in the normal sense that we all understand. It's in our intelligence quotient. But I'm going to go by, this is our IQ, our inquiry quotient. And I'm going to challenge everybody in exploring this topic of curiosity with us to think about, what is our IQ in the inquiry arena, and to what extent are we serving ourselves by asking questions? And sometimes it doesn't have to be the right question, because sometimes there is no right question, and taking away the judgment from that. And I found this lovely quote because I love quotes, and I love to see the glut of quotes on any single topic you look up on Google. I came up with like 178 quotes on curiosity, believe it or not, and only about three of them deal with cats. But anyway, this one hit it on the head in saying, curiosity is what keeps me open to a sense of hope. It staves off negativity. So doesn't that make sense? If we're curious, we're seeking and we're hopeful. So hope is built into that equation. And then who but Walt Disney? You know, what would our lives be like without the Walt Disney t-shirt of our favorite character? Or I know a grown woman who loves to sleep in her Tinkerbell pajamas, you know. So where would we be without Walt Disney? And he said, we keep moving forward, opening new doors and doing new things because we're curious and curiosity keeps leading us down new paths. And I thought about, wow, look at the empire that Walt Disney has built that has affected and delighted and brought joy to people all around the world. He's a universal language. So hope is synonymous with curiosity, I've discovered by being curious about the topic myself. And I could spend a 3-hour session of Echo This just sharing these amazing quotes, because these quotes are springboards to our thinking and they're springboards to conversation. And I want to empower people. We're about empowering people with conversations of hope and opportunity. Get it into your brains that you could take any topic of interest to your family, your kids, and have the most wonderful conversations about them. And I think that would bring hope to the solidifying and the cohesiveness and harmony of the family unit in itself.
Yes, Amy, and hands down on the amazing inquiry quotient that you came up with, because I think that it allows, and even thinking of like when my daughter gets off the bus stop, like she'll ask literally 10 questions. It's like she's like literally taking the last step down off the bus and like starts with the questions. And if you think about that, that's what us as adults stop doing. So putting that IQ back in the meaning that you made it, I think is a whole new game, taking us to a whole new level of curious. So thank you for that. I want to go over to Debbie to hear what you have to say.
I love that Amy brought us that IQ back because I think it's so important, and it's going to actually lead right into what I'm going to talk about here. And like I said from the beginning, I believe I was born curious, and I've always said, if you'll give me 5 minutes, we'll have a casual conversation, and I'll get to know a little bit about you. But that only existed until I walked into a doctor's office waiting area. And when I walked into there, it was like, okay, I'm just going to find a chair. I'm going to sit down. And you don't talk to anybody. Nobody looks happy. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, why do I not talk to people when I get in an office, doctor's office? Well, first off, I'm there because I'm not feeling well. I'm dealing with some very serious health issues. And maybe the person sitting next to me is dealing with the same things or not feeling well as either. So I have allowed myself to just not be curious about that person sitting next to me. And I realized when I needed some help and couldn't find help that I needed to become more curious. And I started learning about my endocannabinoid system and utilizing medical cannabis to help me deal with some very serious medical conditions. And that brought back my curiosity. And that led me down following many rabbits. There wasn't any real education. So I had to become very curious about where I'm getting my education from, where I'm learning from. And so it just opened up a whole new path for me and allowed me to go on this curious trail that I've been going on now for 8 years, still doing it. And the key is no matter what's happening in our lives, we should always be curious. We shouldn't get complacent and just sit next to someone. And this goes back to Amy sitting to the person next to you. Give yourself 5 minutes with whomever it is and allow yourself to get to know them. It's not about you. It's about them. And what can you learn? It could be as easy as asking them, where did you get those really cute shoes? Or I really do like your glasses, eye frames. I mean, there's so many ways you can open that conversation, but be curious. Start it with a curious question and see where it leads you.
Yes, that's such a great point. And you do have to start it with a question, because every time I go to a doctor's office, I do like to meet new people and just ask them questions And psych, because I'm curious about it, and everyone's sitting there so unhappy. So I'm like, I don't like this. I make a game out of it. It's a whole thing. And I've been doing it all these years, and I only one time had it where somebody was like, why are you talking to me? But outside of that, most of the people will respond and have a nice conversation with you until they get called back. So good point. And the other thing that I took away from what you said, Debbie, was follow the rabbits. The rabbits are going somewhere, you follow them. So thank you for that. And to me, playful curiosity means approaching life's mysteries and challenges, but thinking about it with heart and mindset of an explorer, where every question and every encounter is really that opportunity for fun and discovery. What can you discover next? So we think about it, it's really about embracing the unknown with a smile, of course, and a spirit of an adventure, rather than fear or hesitation. And what I've learned is that this approach has really been instrumental in both my personal and professional life. It's helped me rediscover hope in challenging times by reminding me that every problem has a playful solution waiting to be discovered. And I want to give you a quick example. For instance, after my brain tumor diagnosis, I found that embracing play helped me process my fears, but also find strength during uncertainty. And it really transformed a daunting journey into a series of manageable and even enjoyable challenges. And then if I think about my career, I think about playful curiosity. It's opened doors I never expected. It's led me to innovate in my work. I can turn routine tasks into engaging experiences and find new ways to connect with and inspire my audience. And this approach not only distinguishes me in my field, but it also continually reignites my passion for my work, ensuring that I never stop exploring, I never stop learning, and I never stop growing. And we all can do the same thing. So thank you, ladies, for that. And I want to move now into our second segment, and that is really echoing the opportunity. And first, I want to discuss with you, how can you please share a moment when playful curiosity opened an unexpected door of opportunity in your life or career? A moment when playful curiosity opened this door. And I want to start with Amy. So Amy, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, the most significant crossroads that I faced when I was a college senior was trying to get a position, trying to go into a field that was going to be meaningful for me. And unfortunately, a medical condition kind of slowed me down a little bit in my thought process and in my exploration. And I had to start lightening up and being playful about it. And I went to the Campus Placement Bureau, the University Placement Bureau, and I just said, you know what? I'm going to look through this amazing big brochure, big album of opportunity. And I kind of had to make it into a game because otherwise I think I would have felt very desperate and had a breakdown. But here I was, and lo and behold, a pamphlet falls out on the floor. And I say, oh, what's this? This is interesting. And it says, a teaching internship program. And I said, wow, what's that? Well, I learned that it was an innovative program, and it was to bring people into the teaching field who were already in careers, scientists, chemists, business people, and bring them into the classroom. And I said, wow, this is a great idea. But it was also a fast track to equip students of college senior level into the necessary education courses and the process of student teaching without traditional student teaching, but mentorship from the university. So I started meeting people who were applying to this program. And one of them and I were starting to look through ads in the newspaper about teacher openings and so on. And I wound up in this amazing community called Pearl River, New York. And I was like making a game of everything. So I said, Pearl River, wow. Like how often does the stagecoach go through that town? You know, it just sounded so old and nostalgic, like a nostalgic name. So lo and behold, through micro teaching where I was videotaped giving a sample lesson, but not to a real audience of students, but a lot of innovative techniques and a year's internship. It was so much fun because it was learning by doing, and every single step of the way was a question and, you know, saying, well, I have to have the confidence and the playfulness to know that I can do this because I have a passion for it and this is what I want to do. So that created a 33-year career from my jokingly finding a brochure that I love to tell you to this day. It just fell on the floor. Had it not fallen on the floor, I don't know where I would have wound up or if I even would have seen this pamphlet. But that was my unexpected, curious adventure that led to a satisfying career for a lifetime.
Oh, I love that. And I love to hear that the joyful brochure that fell on the ground has led you to where you are today. And I also like what you said with the album of opportunity. Nowadays, it would be an online version of opportunity, but still, like, if you think about it in that mindset, it's an album of opportunity. Like, if people are looking for things versus, oh, there's nothing out there for me. Well, you had a whole album. Now we have a whole online version of that. And then the other thing that I like, you were saying before it became popular with micro learning, you're talking about micro teaching, but back in the day. So that's kind of cool, like how it took many, many years and now everyone's talking about micro learning. So thank you for sharing that. Amy, how about you, Debbie?
Well, this is going to be something that didn't start out as playful and curious, but it ends up being there and it still guides me today. And the first time, now living with medical conditions, serious medical conditions for 3 decades and trying to figure out how to take care of my health, I found myself with no one to help me, with a 24-hour caregiver, unable to take care of myself at all. And then I found myself exploring cannabis. And I went to a dispensary and I had a prescription in my hand from my doctor to go get medical cannabis. You walk in the door, it's very much just like walking into a doctor's office. There's chairs sitting around, you walk up to the counter and you give them your ID, you sign in and you sit down. Now, the difference is everybody's smiling and is happy. But other than that, everything's the same. You sit there, you wait till they call your name. They call your name, open the door, you walk to the back and you think it's going to be the same experience. It's not. It's like walking into a candy store, as I call it, and you actually see all these counters of goodies and they're medicine. And so it's a whole mind shift thing that I go through at this moment. Now I'm in my 60s and now I'm in my 50s. I've just now turned 67, so I'm not quite in my 60s yet. I was in my 50s and I'm talking to someone that's 23 and asking them to help me figure out how to take care of my chronic pain. And then he starts talking about what's in the counter here on the right. And we have popcorn, we have gummies, we have chocolate bars. And I'm like, really? We have all these choices? You know, before I'm used to going to the doctor and they give you a prescription and you go to the pharmacy, you get it filled and you get a pill or you get a liquid medicine. And then he says, or we have this over here. And then they have suckers, worms, all kinds of things. And then there's flower, which is actually the bud itself that comes from the plant. How am I supposed to choose? What am I supposed to do? And I'm trying to take care of my health. So it's really interesting because I walked out of that experience with $500 worth of product just because I didn't know what to do. I had no education. And that sparked and opened all of the curiosity again in me and made me understand that curiosity needs me to lead me down the track or the trail or the path to fully understand medical cannabis, because we need to be making good choices and understanding what works for us and for our health. But it's like a whole new world opens up. What if we did that in our medical offices? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing to have it be that joyous and that happy? Because it really was a joyous moment. I still enjoy the experience and it's still like a candy store to me, but I know exactly what I want to buy when I go in. Because if you remember when you were a kid and you went to the first candy store, what did you think? Were you not like, oh my gosh, I want one of everything? Well, that's not how we take care of our health.
Yes. But that's great though. You have such a fantastic analogy with that whole, the candy store of curiosity. That's an excellent way to explain to your clients and the people that you work with, Debbie. So thank you for sharing that. I like that experience. Interesting. I wouldn't know what to. Yeah. Wow. A moment when playful curiosity opened an unexpected door of opportunity in my career happened when I decided to integrate the humor and the play into my professional workshops and presentations. Because at the beginning, it was just this experiment, right, that I was doing to see if these elements could make the sessions more enjoyable and engaging. But what happened was this approach quickly resonated with my audience. It led to an increased demand for my services. These organizations then began seeking my expertise, not just because of my knowledge, but for the unique and playful way I delivered it. And this shift allowed me to expand my career into new sectors I didn't even think was possible, all because of that curiosity. And it led to more creative consulting and gamification strategies, and that broadened my professional landscape. So that's kind of in a nutshell what happened with me. And then next, I want to move into our third segment, and that's echoing the laughter. And the question here for this segment is all about recalling a time. We want to recall a time when your curiosity led you into a laughably unexpected situation. So I'm going to start once again with Amy. I would love to hear what laughably unexpected situation you fell into.
Well, like Debbie and you, we've all been, I'm going to say, privileged to have medical challenges in our lives, because things that seemed very dark and very questionable at the time all brought us to a place of triumph, and I'll say joy. And having suffered from Crohn's disease for 40 years, at the age of 60, I had major surgery. And I had a long recovery. Things were not as advanced right now as they, and then they weren't so advanced in 2008 when I had my first surgery. But the moral is, I decided I'm going to join a support group. And I was thinking, oh my God, this is going to be some kind of a cult. I don't know what to expect. I don't know who these people are going to be and what they're going to be like. And I just really, you know, was on shaky grounds. So I entered the Broward Ostomy meeting. They had monthly meetings, and it was at a reputable hospital in South Florida. And I was just shocked to see these people who were my age and younger. I didn't know who the patient was and who the partner or spouse or relative was. I couldn't tell. There was no way of identifying who's who. That amazed me. And then I saw this very young looking, adorable woman who said, oh, I had my surgery in my 20s, and that was 40 years ago. And she looked like 40 or maybe 30. And I said, well, I'm not gonna die from this illness. This is not going to be the end. And everybody was so joyful. They had on their program laughter yoga as one of their meeting topics coming up in the future. And one gentleman kind of sidled over to me and he said, yeah, and it never affected my romantic life any. And I looked at him like, oh my God, too much information right now. But the laughter that characterized something that I expected to be very serious, like the person in the doctor's room that you alluded to who said, why are you talking to me? You know, it wasn't that way at all. It became a family with monthly meetings. And of course, when an organization finds a curious person like myself, I was like, I want to say new blood. So right away, in a few months' time, I found myself vice president and program chair, because they recruited me because somebody had to leave that position to be more active in her church on Sundays when the meetings were held. So curiosity got me involved to a point of amazing service and the ability to help others. And there are so many things we can laugh about today that are serious in nature, but we find the humor in it. And it has revolutionized my whole outlook to longevity and healthfulness and absolute joy, especially when we laugh over some of our past experiences. They weren't great at the time, believe me. But like Debbie knows, we can look back on them and we can find the gift in all of those experiences.
Yes, thank you for sharing. I mean, what a great story. And the other thing I was thinking of when you were telling us or sharing that experience with us is it also probably helped you to heal faster too because of that community. That community is like a family. And statistically speaking, there's a bunch of statistics on healing and if you have more people around you than if you're being lonely. But that's another episode. That's not, I'm sure people are curious about that too. But yeah, so thank you for sharing that. How about you, Debbie?
Well, obviously, we're going to be curious about a lot of things for a very long time, as long as the three of us are working together. This brings me to a time. I want you to picture this. I had ruptured a tendon in my foot, and I needed it to be set still completely and could not move. So I had to have a special custom brace made for my foot. Now, imagine this. It looks like a prosthetic boot or a limb. So it's a white, heavy, it's not heavy, but it was heavy because the platform was 4 inches tall. But it's a white, shiny background, metal poles coming up. And if I was walking, you would have thought I had an artificial limb. And the inside was a cushioned hard foam. And it was just like drawing all kinds of attention of people feeling sorry for me. And I decided I needed to change that. It's like, why do I have to wear this boring white boot? As I call it, let's make this fun. So I went to Joanne's fabric store and I started looking through duct tape and I bought all these different colors of duct tape. So I bought a black and white checkered like a road. Then I bought these flowers that just popped like you would see if you were watching Alice in Wonderland and all the flowers and all the green that were around. And then I found this duct tape that had nerds on it, those candy nerds. And it would have nerds written on it, and then it had the yellows and the greens and the oranges, and they were all in separate and different patterns. And then I bought reds, yellows, and greens in solids. And I brought all this home, and I took that boot off, and I created an Alice in Wonderland story on my boot. Then I had a white tennis shoe that I had to wear with it that had to be built up to match. I took that white tennis shoe and did the same thing. From that moment on, there was curiosity about my boot and how I decorated it, not what was wrong with me, which changed the whole conversation and allowed me to be more approachable with other people and allowed me to have other conversation instead of everybody just feeling sorry for me. And this is the key. No matter what circumstance you're in, take the time to figure out how you can take whatever's not feeling really positive for you and turn it into something positive. Trust me, there's always a way.
Yes, and you exemplified that, Debbie. I'm very curious to see these photos of your boots, but I'm more curious after listening to what you were saying. I did not know that Joanne Fabrics had all these variations of duct tape. Like, I'm just thinking of the silver duct tape, but you've opened up a world of duct tape I never even thought possible. So thank you for instilling some duct tape curiosity. I'm sure other people listening think the same thing.
Asking me to make boots and shoes for them that didn't have the same condition I had. They just wanted me to take their shoes and decorate them for them. Yes. So, you know, it really opened up a door and an opportunity. I didn't take that on because I had other things I was working on. But I mean, you know, it's just how that could transcend and change things is really important.
Yeah, it opened up a duct tape door, if you will. So, yeah, definitely. I appreciate you and Amy sharing more on the medical side of your examples. I'm going to go, the first thing that came to my mind when I was answering this question was, I thought of a team building exercise that I did back in the day. And I was introducing this new game where everyone had to mime different job roles, but without speaking. And it was a hilarious game. Everyone that participated had a lot of fun. But I was eager to demonstrate how to do it. But I chose to mime being a clumsy magician, which that in itself was kind of funny. And in my attempt to dramatically pull this rabbit out of the hat, I gestured so wildly that I accidentally knocked over a nearby water jug and water spilled everywhere. And instead of a rabbit, it seemed I had magically conjured a puddle. Everyone burst out laughing. And the incident became this hilarious highlight of the day. And it reminds us that even though missteps can be a source they're really a source of joy and laughter in the right company. So that is my example. And now I'm going to move on to our fourth segment, and that is echoing the enigma. And I would like if you can share a moment when something seemingly simple turned into a fascinating puzzle in your life or work. And how do you think, the second part of this question is, how do you think a curious cat might approach this puzzle, and what could we learn from its methods? So once again, we're going to start with Amy on this one.
So I've been curious in my semi-retired years. I'll say semi because I'm retired from teaching, but I love the title of a book that a friend of mine wrote about retirement, and she calls it not retired, but refired. So one of the things I wanted to do to provide a little bit of relaxation and learning a new skill was to learn how to play Mahjong. I know there are people I know who learned on their mother's laps years ago, and there are others who have other games of choice like Canasta or Rummy Q or things like that. And I said, you know what? It seems simple. So many women play it, and I think I'd enjoy starting involved in a Mahjong game. So it seemed simple, but when I got there, there was this whole new vocabulary of dragons and all the different suits, soaps and cracks and bams and dots. And I was so overwhelmed. My brain was so on overload. I said, there's no way I can do this. I don't know how these women learn this game. I can't see myself putting these patterns together. I can't do it. And yet, I took the attitude that I'm going to be curious, I'm going to be coachable, and I'm going to do this. So now I'm happy to say that I have a new little clique of friends, and we just go, we don't play for money, we just play for laughs. And sometimes we don't have the customary four people, we play with three, and it's a little harder to play with three, and we make mistakes, and we mess up with our jokers, and sometimes we look like just a comedy of errors. So it goes from simple to difficult to difficult to simple. It's kind of a roller coaster, but I can picture, and one of our players, our regulars, has what she calls her attack cats. She says her cats are very aggressive to the point that the vet said, you can't bring this animal back to me, I'm sorry. And we can't be in her apartment because she says even though they are so gentle and beautiful with her, they really are very aggressive and she has to do something about it. I don't know what, but she loves them dearly. So I picture, here we have this cat lady and one who's allergic, two of us are allergic, and sometimes one of them says, oh, I smell your cats on you. But I always have this image of cats kind of like walking over our bridge table as we're playing and sort of surveilling the play and just being there stalking us as we're doing what we do to have fun each week. So it's funny, but the cat image is there, and I like the curious cat who doesn't take no for an answer and keeps playing and swatting and being there and being in your face and on your lap. You know, I had the tenacity to learn how to play this game. So now I think I can say, honestly enough, that I'm an intermediate at least. And even though we still make mistakes, we're curious and we're always learning about new techniques and new ways to have fun with this. So we call the lady who brought it to all of us and, you know, taught us for free and started all this camaraderie. We call her Queen Maj. And I must say that Lisa's point about the atmosphere in which you create the curiosity, that's very important too. You need the support group to ask the questions that may be embarrassing. You need the employee and employer group where it is cultivated and it is fashionable to ask questions. It's productive and it's appropriate and it's expected. So back to your point, that atmosphere creates a lot of curiosity about each other as women, as mothers, grandmothers, teachers, human beings, and that curiosity has no limits.
Yes, and as you're, Amy, now I have this image of like the queen cat and all these other cats sitting around playing Mahjong. Thank you for that. I don't know why I was getting, you were so visual with your stories, and then I just threw cats in there because we're talking about the theme is cats. And I got curious. Now the cat's curious, and a whole bunch of curiosity, which leads me to, I'm cracking myself up over here, which leads me to Debbie. Debbie, what are your thoughts?
That's where we're going. I have a dog that's as curious as a cat. So just within the past week, he became very curious about something that I use on a regular basis, which is one of the appliances that I use for my health. And it comes in a little white cardboard box, and it has some sticks, kind of like, you know, think about being a diabetic and you have all these strips that you need to test mm-hmm. yourself. So it has these appliances in it that I need to use. And I had it sitting on the table next to my chair, which it's been sitting there many times. And I forgot to get it that morning when I woke up and moved it with me to my office. And all of a sudden, I did all my recordings and I came out of the office and my husband said, Nugget left you a present. And I'm like, really? What? He had got a hold of that cardboard box and chewed up everything that was in there. And, well, he didn't chew up everything. He had chewed up a number of them. I think there's 16 pieces in there. And so there were like four or five left. And so I couldn't get mad at him because I had left it setting to where he could actually get a hold of it. So I took it to my office, put it in my office, set it way back on my desk, and went to dinner and came back, and it was on the floor again. And this time he had demolished the whole thing. So he was still curious about it, trying to figure it out. And now I'm trying to figure out the puzzle. How did he get it? Because he can't get on the table. He's too short. The chair that I sit in rotates. So if he were to try to jump into it, it's going to spin and turn and he's not going to be happy. And so I still don't know. So I'm still trying to figure out, do I need to call the cat in to have me help me discover how this works? Or can with somebody else help me? Because the puzzle's still not solved. And it's like, you know, the thing that I learned from this, though, that our animals are curious about what we do. And they see me walking around with this on a regular basis. So he wanted to know what was going on. What is that? What do you like about it? And so remember that, that it's not just your kids and your family members that are curious about you. Your animals are as well.
Yes. That's such a good point. The other thing, too, is since you don't have a cat that batted down to him on the ground, he had to be resourceful enough to go get it. So there was some way that he was watching you all this time. He was curious, so curious that he probably had many attempts while you were eating your dinner, didn't even know, and eventually got on the floor. Like maybe he bumped into the desk. Like there's a whole bunch of different ways he could have been in there, you know, because sometimes animals' body weight can knock things over. Even if it's on a, I have that happen all the time with my cat. I mean, she's not necessarily jumping up here, but things fall over because she bumped into it. So maybe that's how.
It could be, but what's interesting, there were lots of other things sitting around this on my desk. None of them were moved.
Well, Nugget sounds
telling you, it's
strategic.
A puzzle.
Yes, strategic dog. Yeah, there you go.
And curious.
Yeah. Thank you, Debbie. What I think about for this is there was a moment when something seemingly simple turned into a fascinating puzzle for me, and it occurred during this project that I was doing, and I was helping an office with their gamify their office workflow. And we started it with a basic idea. And what we're trying to do was incorporate game elements into their daily tasks, but it quickly unraveled into this complex challenge. And we had to consider different motivational factors. There was unexpected interactions between the team members. And then of course there was varying degrees of engagement with all these elements that we were using. So it was really like solving this multi-layered puzzle, similar to what Debbie was just talking about with the dog and trying to get the thing off her desk. So what we had to do is we had to figure out the best strategies to encourage participation and productivity. And then my thought about the cat is, if the cat is curious how to approach this puzzle, they would likely explore every element with cautious intrigue. perhaps knocking a few things over along the way to see what happens. But from its method, we can learn the value of being hands-on and experimentative, approaching each challenge that we have with a sense of exploration and readiness, because we want to adapt based on new discoveries. And I really think that cats remind us that sometimes you need to stir things up a bit to find the best solution. And that's certainly what my cat does. As we began this segment and I mentioned the cat question, as soon as I mentioned the cat question, she was over here ready to jump on my computer. But she didn't. Thank goodness I stopped her right when Amy was talking. So there you go. She almost interrupted our session here today. But thank you so much for all your comments. We are going to move into our fifth and final segment, and that is echoing the transformation. And our question is, would you describe a moment when playful curiosity led to a profound personal or professional transformation in your life? And I'm back to you, Amy, with yours. I would love to hear it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bend this question a little bit to suit my purpose and what I want to share, because I would say, picture me again in a college classroom, and it's an American literature class, and we are studying William Faulkner, not a very easy author, very complex, and very out of my scope of experience being a girl from the Northeast, you know, metropolitan area. And the psychology of it was really dense and intense. So I guess, had some playful curiosity. And I gave an answer in class. And I was inquisitive in some way because I volunteered a thought, and it may have been in the form of a question. And the profound personal transformation in my life was being mortified when my very reputable professor said, "Oh, come on now, Amy." And that was her response to my contribution. Well, I shut down. I asked a question and I got burned. I was so embarrassed. That was the only C I ever got as a grade in my major of English, American Studies. And I just was closed to anything in this classroom again. I was just devastated. But the profound transformation was that I said to myself, well, I will never be a teacher like her. I am going to be, maybe one day, a very different kind of teacher, a listener, an encourager, you know, somebody who values the students, whatever they say. And I happened to find a few quotes, and one of them is, and they're about life. They're not just about the educational classroom. There are no foolish questions, and no man becomes a fool until he has stopped asking questions. So that, of course, is something I subscribe to. And then another person wrote, "No one is dumb who is curious. The people who don't ask questions remain clueless throughout their lives." So everybody weighs in on this. You know, the people who ask questions, how do you like this one? Millions saw the apple fall, but Newton asked why. Isaac Newton, who formulated the theory of gravity and all the great science experiments and discoveries. And I just want to add that these experiences of discovery that we generate when we ask questions, they have an interesting paradox that they help us discover ourselves. Carl Rogers once said, and I think this is going to really appeal to all of us and our audience, the curious paradox is that when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change. So by asking so many questions, we become self-aware. And at the point that we become so self-aware and accept ourselves, now we have the power to change, to work with other people, and to reform things that are not working in our society, to go out and be activists, to generate joy and productivity in the workplace, at home, and in the medical arena. We can change things for the better. They don't have to be the archaic way they were, where people are isolated and didn't communicate and ask questions. So I believe I became that kind of teacher who listens and who encourages. And I just say, please, everybody listening, go out and have a question of the day. Create a question. Ask somebody a question. Like Lisa said, it's a great icebreaker. And it's really the simple superpower of being alive.
Yes. Yes. How many times have we heard, you know, no questions off limits or no question is stupid. But my favorite one that you mentioned was the people who don't ask questions remain clueless. So keep asking questions. Thank you, Amy, for that take home message. Such an important one. And how about you, Debbie?
I'm going to echo that. I think that the people that don't ask questions do remain clueless. And I think this is where I want everyone's curiosity to become really important here and impactful. I had to go on a search for figuring out how to take care of my own health. And by meeting my endocannabinoid system, I began going down numerous paths, opening doors, following the rabbit, trying to figure out how to take care of my health. I soon realized that my body consists of a number of receptors. And at different times of the day, I have a different number of receptors. So it's trying to identify, when do I need medication and when do I not? When does it serve me and when does it not? And so you're always on this path looking for answers. And that's the one thing that cannabis and studying my ECS has taught me. Sorry, ECS stands for endocannabinoid system. And it is actually get to know yourself. By doing this, I created an effective compass because I got in tune with who I am by listening to my thoughts, by understanding how my body was reacting to this new system that I'm learning to and I'm engaging with. And this actually transformed my life to the point that now I am a publisher of a newsletter, teaching and educating on this subject. I now have created a collaborative community of other people that want to do this so that we can advance this message forward, because doing it the hard way, the way I did, is not recommended. I say partner with someone. You want to partner with your doctors, you want to partner with a health coach, you want to partner with an educator. This is important for everyone. Doesn't matter who you are born with an endocannabinoid system, and it plays a critical role in your health. So take the time and become curious. If nothing else today, just look up the word, see what it says, and then start asking your questions.
No, I love that. And the other thing I was thinking of is curiosity partner. Go out and find a curiosity partner. You can ask each other questions. You can do research. Amy often brings us a lot of interesting research. So there's always curiosity partners out there that want to eager to learn. Did you have something else to say, Debbie?
And I think that's a great point, curiosity partner, because everybody's endocannabinoid system is different. So the amount of receptors I have will be different than the amount that you have. So that's why you need a partner to help you figure that out. But you're going to know that you are unique and individual exactly the way you were designed to be.
Yes. A yes and to that. Well, for me, I was thinking when I wrote this question, I was thinking, okay, the first thing that popped in my mind was what I'm going with. And that is, I had this memorable transformation in my personal life because it was sparked by playful curiosity. And it was when we tackled the chaos of our perpetually cluttered garage. It is always a hot mess. And I had to find a way to make it not so daunting. So I decided that I was going to turn it into a treasure hunt game for my family because there's so much junk out there. Like, you just open the door and you see all this junk. So I assigned points for different types of items found. And what we did was we created fun categories like the oddest object that somebody can find, or blasts from the past because there's stuff out there from like 2014. So we all dove into the path with gusto. We were laughing and sharing stories about the strange and nostalgic items that we discovered. And really what happened was this playful approach not only made the daunting task enjoyable, but it also brought us closer together because we were reminiscing and we were joking through the cleanup. And even though like we were out there for days doing it, it was like over a long weekend, we ended up like we were successful. Like at the end of it, we're like, we can't believe how quickly this, like it felt like it didn't take as long. So the moral here is, why not try injecting a bit of fun into something that you consider to be a daunting task around your home? And we can all think of those right now, whether it's cleaning out a closet or organizing old photos, turn it into a game. See how the shift in approach can then transform a chore into a delightful activity. And then if you want to get crazy, share your funniest or most surprising discoveries with friends or on social media with us. So we want to start by spreading the joy of finding humor and play in the everyday. And our Echo This Now segment, I just want to ask a question before we wrap up, and this is a quick answer, but what in the last 7 days that you heard that is worth echoing? Amy, I'll start with you.
I came across a book by a New York University business professor. He's a professor of ethical leadership at NYU University, and it has a very provocative title. It's called The Anxious Generation: How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness. We all have questions and need to be curious about mental illness in our children, and we need to examine the effect of their going from a physical universe to a phone universe. And there's so much interplaying with how curious are they? And there's a lot of information there, but is this the information we want them to have? And how can we, as responsible adults, how can we ask the right questions and be curious to collectively solve this tremendous worldwide problem that we face? The Anxious Generation. It came out in March of 2024. And I thought that was worth sharing.
Thank you. I just wrote it down on my list. Definitely something to read. And for those of us that have, you know, kids that are still growing and they're young and upcoming, it's, you definitely notice that if you compare generations, they're more anxious. So thank you for mentioning that and sharing with us. How about you, Debbie? What are your thoughts on this?
I'm going to mention two here really quick.
Okay.
One was this week, there was a little boy that was matched with somebody for a transplant. That changed that little boy's life in that instance when they showed up at the door announcing that. And it changed her life as well. And that shows how it doesn't matter what age we are, we can make an impact. The other one is a mom took a video of a little girl helping a senior person that was in a nursing home and shared it. And it shows that kids really want to make a difference. And when we teach them and we guide them in this process, they will be much better at it as we age. That's something that some of us are not taught as we grow up. And I can remember sitting in nursing homes reading to the elderly when I got old enough to drive, because I saw the power and the importance of that, because I had lost all of my grandparents. So being able to do those kind acts, be curious about that person.
Well, thank you for sharing that. It's such great examples. And then the other thing I think of is when you were volunteering in the nursing home, you could have been, like, for some of those people, the only person they saw all day. So how grateful they were for that. And I'm grateful right now for hearing you say that you did that. Kudos to you. And I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm afraid to say that mine is not an impactful contribution at this time. I just have a good old cattail. And really, that's because a friend recently was sharing how they have this curious cat at home, and the cat accidentally jumped onto a video conference call. My friend wasn't even there. She was out like getting a drink or something, and then she came back, and the cat was so intrigued by the voices coming from the computer that it walked over and like accidentally pawed on the keyboard and somehow switched the video feed to display itself prominently on the screen, and then it was laying across the desk. And these meeting participants were treated to this impromptu cat conference. And they were like, oh, there's a big cat there. Like, I don't see Susie, but there's a big cat there. And it broke the ice, but it led to everyone sharing little funny interruptions that they've experienced by working from home, because we've all had them, right? And it turned this routine meeting into this laughter-filled connection, reminding us all that these lighthearted moments that pets often bring into our lives. So we're going to end with a cat. We started with a cat. We're going to end with a cat. And I just want to quickly see if there's any final closing statements from Amy or Debbie. If not, we can go into our closing. How about you, Amy? Any final closing sentence from Amy?
I just want to underscore that curiosity is really the secret of great creative people in every field of the arts and business and science, that curiosity is the basis of it all. And what Debbie said about getting to know, and you also talk to the person right sitting next to you, which is one of my themes in my speaking and my blueprint for life. And if we replace judgment with curiosity, what a better world we'll have. Replace judgment with curiosity. It's very profound.
Yes.
Let's think about how we judge during the day. And if we turn that into curiosity, wow, what a different dynamic we could spark.
To remain curious, there's still so many things. It's like peeling back an onion. There's so many more things you can find out about somebody. So don't just ask one question, ask many, and keep asking them. Never stop asking. So thank you for that. And as we close today's episode, let's hold on to the spirit of curiosity, that even our unexpected moments, we've had a few today, like a cat commandeering a video conference, can evoke. So these playful incidents remind us to embrace curiosity in our daily lives. We can find joy in the surprises that challenge our expectations and brighten our routines. And I want to thank you for tuning in. And as you move through your week, keep an eye out for those moments of unexpected delight that might just be waiting around the corner. Stay curious, keep laughing, and we'll see you next time as we continue to explore and echo the wonders of curiosity. Thank you for joining us today on Echo This. We hope you enjoyed it and walk away with something to echo. Tune in next time. Until then, take care and keep echoing. And if you need to reach us, we are at echotogether@gmail.com. And that's together, gether@gmail.com. Thank you.
Echo, echo.
Echo, echo, echo.
Echo, echo.
Echo, echo, echo.
Echo, echo. Listen in for empowering conversations of hope and opportunity.